Welcome to Season 4 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Hannah Wheeler, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Breakaway Breakdown. This is your host, Lillian, and today I have the distinct pleasure of bringing you an interview with Megan Lunak, the 2025 INFR Breakaway Champion. Now, we already have an article with Megan up on breakawayropingjournal.com, but I say that that article is kind of like the movie version, and this interview that you're about to hear is like the book version. There is just so many good nuggets in it, not only about rodeo, but about life and strength and just what it is to be a woman. I would say that this is one of the best interviews I've ever done, and that has nothing to do with me and everything to do with Megan's story. Before we dive in, I need to say thank you to today's episode sponsor, Kimes Million Dollar Breakaway. The moment you've been waiting for is almost here. The Kimes Ranch Million Dollar Breakaway presented by Boot Barn is on the horizon, and it's sure to make history with its groundbreaking Million Dollar Purse. This event will highlight the fastest growing sport in rodeo and offer an equal playing field for all breakaway ropers. Whether you're a veteran roper or just starting out, this is your chance to be part of something extraordinary. Qualify for the prestigious 10-round finals and grab your share of the Million Dollar Prize. This is your moment to step into the spotlight and make your mark in the world of breakaway roping. For more information, head to milliondollarbreakaway.com. All right, guys, let's jump into the interview with Megan. It's time to rope. Let's go. All right, Megan. So thanks for agreeing to chat with me about just INFR and beyond. This is actually the first time I've gotten to chat with you. So I feel like I'm meeting you for the first time, and we're also going to get to hear a really cool story.
Yes, thank you. I'm so honored. I'm so proud to be a breakaway roper, and publications like the Breakaway Roping Journal just make it that much more easier for breakaway ropers to get in the know and find out awesome things. And thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, it sounds like we have a lot to cover, a lot of circumstances, a lot of life stuff. You said you lost your thumb and then you go out and win the INFR. So, I'm not sure where we should start. Do you want to start in the beginning?
Yeah. So I've been breakaway roping since I was about 12 years old. So we grew up here and there wasn't too many women that roped in the arena, on the ranches, of course. So I always wanted to be an NFR cowgirl, world champion. So barrel racing was kind of what we'd only get to see on TV. And I was a roper and I was my dad's kind of right-hand man. So we never really got to see women rope. And then I feel like through the NRAs here and then INFR rodeos, it kind of gave breakaway ropers in Montana a stage, especially a professional stage to rope on. So I've been in love with breakaway roping since I was a little girl. I've wanted to be a world champion since I was a little girl. And I'm 40 years old now, and I've been through some things, and I've saw some things, but I finally conquered my goal last week in Las Vegas, and it was better late than never because it feels amazing.
I know. I bet you either slept really late that night or you didn't sleep at all because you were just, like, electrified.
Yes, I'm still kind of – I didn't sleep in Vegas much at all because it was on my mind 24/7, so – like I've been sober for 10 years and that's really helped me a lot with my discipline and my mind and then mm-hmm. getting into the gym. But I have that need and that want to win. Like I'm a competitor and I've wanted to win this title my whole life. And I just down there this year, I just put my head down and I just grinded through it. I thought I'm not leaving here second. I don't want to leave here, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, like I have in so many years in the past. I wanted to win it. So I just put my mind to it. And it really turned my life upside down. And I caught this really awesome Vegas cold and not much sleep, but it's pretty amazing. I'm so excited. Give a lot of credit to my horse. I mean, she's amazing, this little creature. She's 14 hands high and she's a reject cutter and she just took to breakaway like nothing. And she's been the funnest horse I've ever owned.
That's amazing. And you call her Cricket, right?
Yep, Cricket. She's her registered name is Not a Wimpy Gun. So she has a lot of cutting cow in her and she's tiny. She's 14 hands barely. I say she's probably about as big as Katie Williams's horse Scandal. And then
Okay.
there's me, who's 5'10". So she's got a little neck and I got a long arm, but it works good. But yeah, she reminds me a lot of Katie Williams's horse, Amazing Horse Scandal. Like the same build, the same mannerisms, discipline, just the same grit as that horse.
That's amazing. And you guys are pretty close up there, just because Katie's in Montana as well.
Oh yes, Katie's a one of our circuit girls. You know, and Katie's been one of she was when she was Katie too, she was the top barrel racer when she's a little girl. She's winning the juniors, ladies, and all the NRAs. And I've watched her grow up and she's an all-star up here and she's a heck of a person to know and a good mama and an amazing roper. So I've always loved that horse Scandal. And she and I were talking about it when at one of the rodeos last summer, and it's pretty cool. See that my little mare is about the same height as that one.
Well, that's really funny because just looking at photos, number one, I'm not like, oh yeah, this girl's 5'10. And number two, I'm not like, oh yeah, this girl's 40. Like, if you were like, I'm 29, I'd be like, yes, you are.
No, I just I had I think what really has helped me win this world title was getting to into the gym and getting some discipline and getting in shape because you have to be in shape to ride these horses though. I said they're so quick, they're like little motorbikes, and they want to go, and they don't have withers and your saddle will roll on them. So I just feel like staying in the gym and staying in shape just really helped me out, especially on this little mare.
That's
She's a
awesome.
firecracker. Yeah.
I
I mean,
know.
there's a pretty viral picture of me. She went to bucking with me this summer at a Indian rodeo in Rocky Boy. So I rode my calf and she just and it was like kind of like a weird tornado-y day out there. And so I rode my calf and then she just bogged her head with the bucking. And I was like, are you seriously bucking right now? And I was like, and then everybody, the whole crowd was like hooping and hollering. But it wasn't even that big of a buck. It was more of a crow hop. Because if she would have bucked, I probably would have been on the dirt. But she's still a baby. And I tell everyone, like, I'm still kind of, there's her seasoning going through all the ins and outs of it. She's getting her wiggles out. But
She's
man,
getting her wiggles out.
down in Vegas, she was game on down there.
That's
She was,
awesome.
yeah.
So let's kind of talk about your year as a whole. And when did the thumb come into play as well?
So I graduated from college in 2008 from University of Montana Western in Dillon. The year, so I graduated in May 08 and in June, so I team rope. I love team roping. I've always been a team roper. I've actually in college did better heeling than I did breakaway roping my senior year, but I just a day just team roping. I heeled this steer and I always say I have to brag on my heel loop because it's probably about the last heel loop I threw that was good. I pantyhosed him and I dallied and then the guy that was heading for me, he was kind of on a younger horse and the horse start like running off. So I took another like wrap dally to stop get the time. And I got my thumb sizzled off in that second wrap, which I shouldn't have done looking back, but I did because I wanted a time. So anyway, I cut my thumb off it was at Sam Bird's place on in Cutbank, Montana. Sam is one of our icons here and I'm really close with his daughters. So they've got picked my thumb up off the ground. It was still in the glove. They rushed me to the hospital and they tried to save it because I just got out of college and I just got a job teaching school. So I have a degree in English education. So the doctors wanted to give me as much thumb as they could because of the writing I would be doing and the teaching and so we ended up going to Great Falls and they wanted to sew my thumb into my belly because I think Jake Barnes actually had this done when he lost his thumb. because the heel rate is like so much faster. But I couldn't bear to have myself attached to myself like that. So they just shaved it down and covered it. After that, my roping, I was pretty insecure about my roping. And I went to Joe Beaver's school. Well, actually, I called Joe. I'm like, I cut my thumb off. He's like, what? And so what Joe did, he knew he had a school coming up that summer. He taped his thumb down to his palm so he could figure out how to rope thumbless and then teach me how to rope thumbless, like give me those tips that I needed. So he taped his thumb down and he worked on it and he told me it's hard. He said it's an adjustment. He said, but we can do this. And what we ended up doing, one of the big things we ended up doing was switching from a three strand to a four strand, because I had more like there's more depth in that and like more like girth in the in holding your loop there with that four strand. So it'll like cross over in your hand a lot better than a three strand. And it was just now it's just a conversation piece. I'm proud of it. I love it. It's part of me forever. I have a lot of youth. I mean, I feel like people that have a digit cut off of a hand, we're kind of in this like group of ropers that we just all look at each other like, and you see they're missing a thumb, you're like, hey buddy, what's up? It's kind of, we have that come on that camaraderie there or whatever. So but I've had a little youngster reach out to me. He just cut his thumb off this summer, and just asking me about the healing process and all that. So if I could just be of any help to anybody, because it's really not that bad of an injury in the scheme of things. It's just you have to adjust, as you should in
Yes,
life
I would
anyway.
say
So
the big thing would be the getting back to roping, because there's that mental
yes.
block too, I'm sure.
Yes, there totally is. And I still heal, I still dally, I still I just it was nothing. It was a freak deal. Like I dallied my whole life. Like I grew up in branding pens. I grew up team roping. So it was just a freak deal. I just took that extra dowel, that extra wrap around my horn and sizzled my thumb off. Haven't
Just
done it since.
casual. I know. Well, you have
Yeah.
less thumb to catch now,
Yeah.
so.
I know. And the funny thing is I have a four-wheeler, and so you need to like have your thumb to push the pedal on the handlebar to go. I can't do that. So I have to, it's just funny things like that. I just have to adjust to life, but it's okay. It's just part of life. And it really gave me a deeper appreciation for people who actually have lost limbs. And, just with my little thumb being gone, I can't imagine arms and legs and things like that. It just gives me a deeper appreciation.
Well, so I didn't realize that you had l cut off your thumb so many years ago, but and then I asked you about what this past year looked like, but I feel like we're still missing some of that in between journey. And so you said you were INFR roping up there in the breakaway, and what was the other association?
I competed in the Northern Rodeo Association, the
Okay.
amateur rodeos in Montana.
Awesome.
And then so and then I got so one cool thing I always like to point out is I played a really big key role in getting Breakaway into the Montana Circuit Finals. So we were one of the last circuits up here to get Breakaway in. When they had the Breakaway in 2020 in Dallas, I was like, I want a pro rodeo. Like, this is it. This is my dreams coming true. So they didn't have Breakaway in our rodeos in Montana yet that year. And they were just kind of starting to ease in. And I really give a lot of credit to Sparky Dreesen, JYJ, because his rodeos in Eastern Montana were the first ones in our circuit to include Breakaway roping. And I just love him for that. So, and then we had Breakaway, but then we didn't have a finals. And so I thought, well, that's not fair. Like, what do we need to do to get Breakaway into the Four Seasons Arena in Great Falls? So I put out Facebook posts, just asking people for some support and what they think. And man, we just had this whole state just jump behind us as girls. And so one of the committee members called me after this Facebook post about, hey, let us rope. We don't care. We'll rope in the next building. Let us rope. I think it's our time. We deserve this. So one of the committee members from the circuit finals called and he said, "Hey, we can get you guys into the circuit finals, but you got to come up with your own purse. You got to come up with your own prizes." So to have equal money, we ended up raising all of our money with a silent auction right around Christmas. I think we, that first year, we raised like $12,000. I mean, people just came out of everywhere and supported us by donating or buying. So we showed up with a check and they let us rope in two slacks and a perf. And so the next year, or that year at the banquet, or sorry, at the luncheon, there was talk about why can't the breakaway ropers rope in the perf? And they're like, well, it's the same old, like, the production, it's the length of time. And we said, let us prove it. Like, we will literally get in the box and nod and get out of there. So once they saw how fast it went, like the first year when they had us in those slacks and then the one perf, they saw like we were rocking and rolling because they split us up into, I think, six girls a night. So six girls went in one perf Friday and six girls went in a perf on Saturday. We were done in a minute, like 2 or 3 minutes. Like, it's so fast. And then, so I think they finally, and the crowd loved it. Like, they loved it. They loved the fastness of it. And so I really feel like us being able just to break in that first year of, I believe it was in 2021, the year after COVID. It's when we really kind of got started to look at Montana. And I'm really proud to be a key role player in that because I did qualify for two Montana circuit finals. And but just to see how much it's progressed in Montana is huge. And these big rodeos are adding equal money. Our breakaway ropers are the highest entered event at every rodeo up here. I love it. It's amazing to see how much it's progressed.
I love it too. And then I just chatted with the Badlands circuit champions, and both of them are just like cowgirls. Like, it was such a cool conversation. Taylor Engesser and Sloan Anderson, just to kind of hear that whole culture up north is really gritty, and lots of handy women up that way.
Definitely. And I think I think a lot of is we have such a short window to rodeo, 3 months, 4 months. So we lay it all on the line for 3 months before we have to go back in. So like right now we're shipping calves, getting cows moved to winter pasture, and we just get a few months of rodeo, and then it's gonna get dark here pretty quick for the dark at 4 o'clock every night, and we'll be at 30, 40 below. So we take advantage of our summers up here, I feel like. And we give it our all and we try to win everything we possibly can before Old Man Winter arrives.
The Kimes Ranch Million Dollar Breakaway, presented by Boot Barn, is back and bigger than ever, now November 24th through the 30th at the Westworld of Scottsdale. This open, all ages, no membership required event is the ultimate payday for female breakaway ropers. Last year, we saw it all. Non-pros, high schoolers, rookies, and the very best in the game with inspiring stories that made history. This year, they are bringing you even more, kicking it off with 2 days of the last chance qualifiers with no limits on entries and 1 day of semifinals before heading into 3 thrilling days of 10 final rounds starting on Thursday. Plus, live music with Josh Malloy on Friday night and the Grammy-winning country star Ashley McBride on Saturday night. Contestants can expect a luxury experience at one of the premier equine venues in the nation with a back number welcome party featuring a surprise concert, a friends and family Thanksgiving meal, and more. Whether you're coming to claim your piece of the million, cheer on the best of the best in breakaway roping, or enjoy great country music, don't miss it. Visit milliondollarbreakaway.com for more information and to get your tickets today. And now it's back to the episode.
Well, let's steer it back towards you. You said that you were sober for 10 years now, and what was kind of the thing that made you decide, like, I'm going to do this? Because I can't imagine how difficult the decision is when you're in the middle of it to not only decide to become sober, but to really stick with it.
I think And one thing I always will say is I'm not judgy, and I don't I but for me, for Megan Lunick, I could not handle alcohol. I was ruining my life. I was messing up. I was riding some of the greatest horses I've ever had, and I was messing up on them as a competitor. I was messing up in my daily life, in my career, in my relationships, everything. But my dad is the key player in my sobriety. So, he actually he battled with his addiction to alcohol as a young man, but he's been sober my entire life, and he's really set the bar for me on how to live a really good, clean, healthy cowboy life, you know? And but with me, I was just falling into some deep depression, some dark days, and my mental health was not good. And I thought I was so sick when it was at my mom and dad's anniversary, and I was so sick that day from the night before's festivities. And I thought, man, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of being sick. I'm tired of feeling like this. I feel like I'm not going to live long if I keep feeling like this. And my mental health was very important to me back then, and it still is. But I had to quit for my mental health. Because I'm thankful I did, because I'm still here today. Because I just fell down. I wasn't really a person that could just go have one or two and call her good. No, I had to like go all out, full send it. And I had fun. I had some good times. I'm not, but I just, the older I got, and I was getting in my 30s, and I was like, man, I can't do this anymore. I don't think my body can handle it, and my brain damn sure can't handle it. So, but my dad, but living at a sober home with my dad was, and my mother was the best thing that ever happened to me. And it's like life didn't just automatically get better. Like I still struggled and had my problems and things I had to overcome, but I was approaching every obstacle in my life with a clear mind for once in my life. And that's, I think, why I've gotten through so much. Because like there's a whole other story there with what I've gone through and the grief and trauma and all that good stuff that comes with it. But my sobriety is what helped me get through all of that. Absolutely.
Well, I don't want to go any farther than you're willing to go, but I think it's a really important message, and people don't want to do it because they are afraid of the judgment of, turning down a drink. And
Absolutely.
there's no shame in it. Honestly, I think it's really powerful.
I think so too. And you know, I'm such a cheerleader for people that are wanting to, you know, just try it. It's, if you don't, if it's okay if you want to have one or two, like I always say, like, and there, I think a lot of the sober people kind of get mocked or judged for looking down upon or being greater than than others, you know, greater than art thou. But it's not that way with, I know my limitations, and it wasn't alcohol. But I love that sobriety's trending like right now. I love that I read about these world champions and these amazing rodeo competitors that have given it up, the alcohol, and they're living a different life. I love it. It's just, especially, you know, we live on a reservation, on the Blackfeet Reservation, and addiction is rampant here, drugs and alcohol. And there's so many little kids that are born into a you know, tough home with addiction. So if I could be that role model here on our Blackfeet Reservation of somebody that did overcome addiction, that still every day is a day to struggle to get through. But with both my sobriety, I manage pretty well. And I just want like the youth out there to know that, hey, rodeos are fun, and I love me a good cabaret in Canada or beer garden and down in the States. But you don't have to just partake in the partying with everybody if you don't want to. If it makes you sick or upset or don't feel good about yourself, then you don't have to do it, because there will be no judgment at all. So I love about it.
And the sobriety may not have been directly linked to your current success, but it certainly had a hand in it, from, being able to think clearly and, use the good horses you said you had and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like my horses and my working out and my horses are my therapy. Sobriety, I there's this whole like weave, this whole connection of things that I have that is attributed to my success down in Las Vegas, you know. So it's just like I just didn't have a good rodeo randomly. I've been working at this a long time, and I've learned how to overcome different obstacles, and then pressure, handling pressure. Because I mean, another little snippet of me is I work in stunts. So I was my dad is a stuntman, horse wrangler in the movie industry, and I got into stunts a couple years ago, and it really changed my discipline and my head game and things like that. And it was thanks to sobriety I got the job too, because you know I had to work hard and prove myself that I could be that person to work as a stunt woman in a movies, and I thank my sobriety for that too.
That's amazing. Is that something that you do regularly?
You know, it's kind of so right now the movies are, it's just kind of touch and go. We're just getting over a strike with the Screen Actors Guild, and movies are still kind of just starting to pop up here and there. But my dad had done it regularly from 1988 until last year. He worked on Yellowstone.
Wow.
So I was on a couple shows. I worked on American Primeval in 2023, worked on Yellowstone last year, and then I worked on Dark Winds this last spring for 3 months. So it definitely takes over my rodeo and schedule, but that's fine because it's literally one of the coolest jobs in the world. You know,
it sounds so cool.
It's really cool. Rodeo is my love. Like that Cody Johnson song says, "Rodeo, I'm still in love with you. I'll always love rodeo." But man, that stunt world's a whole new world. It's a whole new ball game.
I feel like we can do
jobs.
Another entire podcast on the stunts of it all, because it's so cool.
I know. I feel like I'm throwing a lot of like grenades at you with what I do, but it's just, I don't know if I'm complex or I just have a lot of things that I can handle or I can do.
Well, I think everyone's lives are really complex, and you know, sometimes I get the whole meal deal and sometimes I just get part of people's lives,
yeah.
And both are totally okay. And today I'm getting all of it and it's awesome.
Yeah, you're getting my full course restaurant, the full menu.
Yes.
I mean, I have a lot I could talk about.
Well, we finally made it. Let's talk about the INFR. let's talk about Indian Rodeo, your year. I'm looking at the results on their page, and honestly, I'm having a little bit of struggle with it. I don't know if it's if it's a me problem though. So kind of break down how the whole system works for the association, and then we'll kind of dive into Vegas.
Okay. So for the last, since 2020, the INFR switched to a tour system. So we used to have regions throughout the United States and Canada, and those region winners would go to qualify for the INFR. Well, when COVID came and everything got shut down, they came up with a tour system. So we have tour rodeos from Arizona, Florida, all the way up to Northern Alberta, Canada. So they usually start, the rodeos start in February in Florida, and then we go to Arizona, Oklahoma, and then in the summertime, everything comes north to Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Alberta. So what you can do, they have two tour rodeo settings. So they have just a regular tour rodeo with, has to have at least 3,000 added. And then they have an automatic tour qualifier, which has to have 6,000 added. If you win that automatic tour, you get an automatic go to the Indian National Finals Rodeo. So there's a few rodeos up here in northern Montana and Alberta that are qualifiers. And I wasn't rodeoing this year. Like I said, I was in New Mexico working on a movie. And then I lost my uncle. I lost two grandmas. I lost an aunt and a cousin within like 3 months. We had five deaths in our family.
Oh my gosh.
In 3 months. So I just had, rodeo wasn't on my radar, but I knew I had this mare. I was like, man, I can't waste my mare because I'm grieving. Like, it's stupid. It's not unfair. It's not fair to her. So I entered my hometown rodeo, which is Browning, Montana, because I'm like, well, that's stupid. I'm 20 miles from home. I can't be sitting at home crying when there's a rodeo going on in my hometown, best time of year in July. So I go in there, and I won it. And I was like, holy crap, I just made Vegas at one rodeo. And I was like, well, I guess I really don't have to go anymore because I already made it with the automatic qualifier. So I stayed home all the rest of the summer and I just helped my parents ranch and do all the things that you do on a ranch. But it's kind of the best thing that happened to me dealing with the grief that the compound grief we're dealing with was getting reconnected to who I am and my roots and my culture being here on our family ranch on the Blackfeet Reservation. So the rodeo season went on. They take like the top 20 out of the money won, and then the whatever the automatic tour qualifiers, whoever they were, go. So I think there's like 32 girls all in all that go down to the Indian National Finals rodeo
That's a
through
lot.
their standings. It is a lot. It's like a big rodeo.
I love it.
It's more so than anything. But at the in the same time, you got 32 wolves. I mean, Indian rodeo girls rope. Like we see Danny Lohman, Bailey Bates, our girls that are making the NFR and the breakaway. There's 30 more of them that can rope just like that.
Oh
Just
my
not all
gosh.
of us have the resources or, the means to leave with careers, with home life, with everything. But, it's pretty cool when you got Danny Lohman sitting next to you that goes 1-8, and then you got this young kid that's about 17 years old that comes firing for her. I love the competitiveness of Indian rodeo.
I have
It's
chills
pretty
right now.
amazing. Yeah. So it's like
Amazing.
when you get down there, you're not just competing against 14 other girls, you're competing against 31 other girls, and they can rope and they're mounted and they're good, and they're young, and there's a lot of young talent out there coming up. That's pretty amazing. So, and then when you get down there, all your money won, everything goes out the door, and it turns into a sudden death. So they give you the world title based on the rodeo you had in Vegas, not the traditional where it's money won on the year. So there's some like it's sort of discrepancies there with people, and I've been on both sides. I've gone in there with a huge lead in the tour standings, and then didn't do crap during the rodeo and didn't even matter because they give you the world title based on four runs down there. So I said, all right, well, that's the game plan. I'm gonna go down there and I'm gonna catch four calves, and I'm just gonna handle each calf because we don't know the cattle. We get down there and it's like they just let us run them through. We didn't get the rope at them or anything, so it was like shot in the dark what you're getting. So I just thought, well, I'm just gonna have to use my ranch skills and just take whatever the calf's gonna do. I'm gonna have to just adjust my loop and my horse to that if he goes left, right, because we don't know what they're gonna do. We don't get to see them. So that, and like we've talked with it, and I've talked with the contractor about maybe next year letting us rope through the calves so we know, but this year it was a shot in the dark. So it really tests your mental game plan, your cow sense and all that. So it's grueling. Like it was grueling down there winning it, but it was the best day of my life winning it. No, I pr finally proved to myself I'm where I belong.
I love it. And you, with everything you've been through, period, but then especially this year, you were able to qualify and then spend pe time with the people you love while still having this big event to look forward to and keep you kind of looking forward. And then, like the cherry on top, winning this of title you've chased for how long?
Oh my God, well, I'm 40, so I've been wanting this since I was a baby. I'm gonna say 17 years.
Wow.
I've been wanting this, but I mean, I've been, and then I just like, I never trusted myself. And I feel like as women, we need to believe in ourselves way more than we do. Quit letting outside influences, persuade you that you're not good enough or you don't belong, whether that's family, relationships, friends, just people, on the internet that are mean. But I one thing I've really loved to like tell people is like become your own hero. I had to. Prince Charming was never gonna come save me. There is no such, those are just fairy tales that we grew up with. I had to save myself from my own reckless behavior, from the circumstances I was in, and I had to believe in myself. And that has been a process. And I'm 40 years old and I'm finally starting to figure this out. I wish I could tell my 21-year-old self this, but I can't. But I can help somebody else, or just be a shoulder to lean on if anyone needs it. 'Cause man, I just feel like as like I go back to us and believing on ourselves. Just become your own hero.
I love it. I
And
love
then
it.
we have heroes like Jackie Crawford and JJ and Shelby that are out there on a national stage who are getting to see. And like, man, I come home and watch a Cowboy Channel and I get pumped. I'm like, oh, I wish I was at a rodeo right now. I love watching these ladies. And I'm sure they all have their problems behind the scenes, but in front of the camera, in front of the crowd, they're just so majestic and regal and amazing. And they're very good role models for me and other women as well.
Yes, I love it. It's getting to cover the breakaway roping has really been an honor, and I love the ladies that I've met in the process.
Know there's some cool chicks out there for sure.
Okay, well, I'm not sure that we have time for a whole nother podcast, but
To be continued.
I was gonna say, who do you want to say thank you to?
I would like to thank, I was recently sponsored by the War Party Ranch, which is a movement to help women get out of the domestic violence situations and to regain their own confidence. They're on Instagram called War Party Ranch. Amazing, amazing message behind them. Love them. And then I gotta thank Joe Beaver. I can never thank him enough for everything he's done for me. He's my hero, and I love Jenna. And Joe always would stop everything he could for me, and I would do the same for him. I think he's the best person in the world. And my parents, Dutch and Ann Lunick, without them, I don't really think I'd be here on this earth talking to you right now. They're so strong and so brilliant, and they've pulled me out of some really dark nights. So, and I'm getting emotional. This is supposed to be
That's
happy,
okay.
but
It's an emotional topic. It was a heavy episode, but it was such a good episode
I know.
because
I'm sorry. It was so heavy, but I've
no.
been in a hell of a year. Like, holy crap, it's been a hard year. I'm trying to stay upbeat.
No, I mean, it's real though. Life is not
Yeah,
a
it
cakewalk,
is.
you
It
know?
is. It's so real. And like you can make it all fluffy and cute and like your life's okay. But then you're like, man, where I live on this reservation, life's really hard. And you just got to be real with people and honest about who you are and where you come from. So crazy. Thank you, though. I'm so honored to visit with you
Yes,
guys.
ma'am.
And if you ever need anything from Montana or any connections, I'm here for you guys, or need some more
if
stunt
I'm
stories or
ever
anything.
broke down that way,
Yes.
I'll
Yeah.
know who to call.
Absolutely. And if I don't know, I'm not in that area, I most likely know somebody in this area, wherever you're at. You just
There
let
you
me know.
go. Sounds good. Thank you so
All right.
much.
Yes, you have a good day. It was awesome talking with you.
Yes, ma'am. I'll catch you later.
All right. Well, yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, guys, I'm not sure there is really any way to adequately sum up that interview, but wow, what an amazing story. I absolutely love Megan's heart and how she is just continuing to press on and bring light and positivity to others. And I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I enjoyed talking to her. Special thanks again to the Kimes Million Dollar Breakaway for supporting today's episode of The Breakdown. The Million Dollar Breakaway is about redefining the story of women's rodeo. Come be a part of the moments we'll talk about for years to come, November 24th through the 30th at Westworld of Scottsdale. All right, guys, I'll catch you next time.